Good morning, Pilgrim. I'm going to begin this morning devotion, reading from Isaiah 57, beginning at verse 16. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I've seen his ways, but I'll heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of his lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. And I'll heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Abraham Kuyper wrote a piece, The Soul Which I Have Made. Well, there's a peculiar charm about the thing that we've made. Not because of any intrinsic value it may have, but just because we've made it. The new beginner at the art of portrait painting who practices art by copying celebrated originals, he'll think more of his own copy than of the more excellent original, perhaps. Flowers that the young lad plucks from his own little garden are much more interesting to him than a bouquet from the florist. The country gentleman, he prefers his own vegetables, those picked from his own garden, even if less fine, to the produce imported from abroad. He who writes for the press, he deems his own article, published in some monthly or quarterly, the best of the edition. This holds good in every department of life. Produce raised ourselves interests us greatly. Cattle bred on our own stock farm is preferred to any other. We're more happy in the house which we've built. Of course, this implies some pride, which evidently in youth is apt to breed conceit. We grant that preference for our own work can go too far, as when from sheer egotism it makes us undervalue better works from other people. This is evident in mother joy, which revels in play with its own child, such as impossible to play with the neighbor's child. Self-delusion, selflessness may at times be too evident in this joy of the mother heart, but history and folklore in all lands and times bears witness that there vibrates another string in a mother love than that of selfishness, the sound of which can only be understood when it is recalled that she bore the child. The mother is conscious of a part of her life in that of her child. The two, they don't stand side by side as numbers one and two, but the mother life extends itself in that of her child. This trait is evident in every product of her own, whether of her thought, of our manual labor, or of our perseverance. And whether it's an article which we contributed, or a house which we built, a piece of embroidery which we worked, or a flower which we planted, a hound or a racehorse which we raised. There's something in it. There's something in it of our own, something that we put upon it, something of our very selves, of our talent, of our invention, which makes us feel toward it as we never can feel toward things which are not of our own making. And by this human trait, God comforts the heart of sinners. This trait is in us because it is in God. Regarding this trait, God declares that it operates in the divine Father heart in our behalf. For there is a soul at stake. God never forgets that he's made it. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always angry, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. As little as a mother can allow her just anger with the child of her own bosom to work itself out to the end, just so little can God's wrath with the soul fully exhaust itself, because he's made it. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Though a mother may forget her sucking child, yet will not forget, I will not forget you. The fatherhood. The Father God expresses this same comforting thought. It implies not merely that human fathers love, and that God loves too, but that both the love of human parents and the love of God spring from the same source, to wit, that God has created and made the soul that is in us. That we are created after God's image implies that God is conscious of a relation which he sustains to us. The High, the Holy One, finds something of himself in us because we are his own products. As his own creatures, we are objects of his divine interest. There's something of God in the soul because he made it. It bears a divine stamp. There's something of God's power in it, of his thought and creative genius, as there is in nothing else. We're God's handiwork, no two of which are ever exactly alike. Imagine that we were gone and the vast collection of the Lord would no more be complete. From this, the tie between God and the soul is born, which makes each of us a star in his firmament, which the Father of spirits cannot afford to lose. Therefore, the Lord, he seeks what is lost. An artist who has paintings on exhibition in a gallery and finds one of them gone cannot rest until it has been traced and restored to its place on the wall. In like manner, God misses the soul that has gone astray because he made it. The beautiful parables of the lost penny, the lost sheep, the lost son sprang in the mind of Christ from the thought that God cannot let go the works of his hands. Therefore, he doesn't leave the souls of sinners indifferently as prey to corruption. They are his handiwork, and this constitutes the bitterness of sin. If on entering the gallery one day the aforementioned artist saw that an angry intruder had wantonly, under cover of night, cut his paintings with a knife, smeared paint all over him, his bitterness of soul would know no bounds. Not merely because these paintings had been destroyed as treasures of art, but as works of his own hands. This insult has been inflicted upon God. The soul which he has made has been inwardly torn asunder by sin and has become almost irrecognizable. And as often as we yield to sin, the soul is spoiled still further. It is every time the continuance with uplifted hand of the work of ruining the soul which belongs to God, because he made it. The destruction of one's own soul, or of the soul of his children, or of others by example or willful temptation, is always a spoiling of a divine work of art, a creation of God, which wounds him in his own handiwork, corrupting the traces of himself in it. It is as though a child is wounded and slain before his mother's eyes. It is defiance of the Maker's love for his handiwork. It is willfully giving offense and grieving the Maker in his most sensitive point. To him, therefore, whose heart is right, this saying of the Lord, the souls which I have made, has a twofold meaning. First, the comforting thought that if we believe, God's anger with the soul which he has made will not continue to the end. And on the other hand, it implies a helpful warning that we should not poison the soul by continuance in sin, but that we should favor it, spare it, shield it from corrupting influences, because it belongs to God on the ground that he has made it. The confession that God created man after his own image does not exhaust the fullness of the thought in hand. The plummet goes far deeper. A saving and uplifting power of this confession is only felt when each morning is begun anew with the vivid realization of the inspiring thought that the soul is in us. The soul in us is a work of art made by the High and the Holy One, on which His honor hangs, over which therefore He watches with holy jealousy, and that we cannot ruin it by sin except as we commit crime against that, to which God sustains a peculiar relation of being its author and its maker. Thus the souls which I have made did not say anything more save that we should realize that we are the children of God, but it states it in a more gripping way. It declares that he who by sin denies his heavenly Father violates God's honor and grieves the Father's heart. Some things to think about. God bless children. Children. God bless Pilgrim. Jesus made a way. Take advantage of it. God bless. Have a blessed, blessed day with our Lord Jesus.